For the first time in my life, I felt sort of sovereignly powerful in my spirituality because I was raised very Christian, where, you know, all of the sort of divinity is outside of you and you're constantly having to fear and beg for forgiveness from this outside divine figure. And suddenly I felt empowered on my own by it. And in that sense too, I was very drawn to the idea of paganism, which is all about spiritual sovereignty and all about taking your magic and your power into your own hands.
Welcome to On the Cusp of Something Beautiful, where we discuss a range of topics centered around art, creativity, mental health and wellness, and my favorite thing to talk about, listening to our intuitive guidance. I'm your host, Amikale Imani, and this podcast is simply a guide to welcome you back to your truest self. Each episode, I get radically honest on how I navigate being an intuitive creator, the struggles, the wins, the lessons, and of course, the intuitive hits. My hope is that you hear something today that reminds you of who you are and why your gifts, whatever they may be, are valuable and important to be shared with the world. So welcome home, friend. I hope you're ready to meet your highest, most beautiful, and rarest self. Hello, welcome back to another episode of On the Cusp of Something Beautiful. My name is Amikale Imani. I am your host. I hope you all are doing well. I hope you all had a beautiful weekend. I hope you all had a beautiful Halloween, Samhain, Hallows Eve, whatever you want to call it, however you want to frame it. This episode, I'm recording the intro on November 1st. So it is Dia de los Muertos. Let me make sure I said that right. Dia de los Muertos. Okay. I think it's November 1st and 2nd, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, I hope you guys just had a beautiful transition out of October into November, new month, new lessons, new blessings. So let's just stay grounded and aligned as possible. Later on this week, I'm still going to release an episode on Thursday. I know the episodes have been all over the place lately. I've just been traversing so much shit, and I'm going to talk about that on Thursday, because it's been a lot. It's been very heavy emotionally, energetically, physically, mentally, all of that. So I've just been having to like go where the energy flows, and sometimes I just don't have the energy to show up, you know, in the way that I would like to show up, in the energy, in the energetic space that I would like to show up. So I'd much rather wait till the storm passes and the calmness is back, and then that way I can really show up in grace and ease and flow. So again, thank you all so much for your patience. I really appreciate it. So we're going to get into it rather quickly today. I do have a little anecdote that I want to share with you all before I go into this week's oracle card. This week's oracle card. So a couple weekends ago, I was at Target checking out. And so I was the person in line who had to put some stuff back. You know what I'm saying? We went over the amount that we could afford. So we had to put some things back. We had to count everything to see what was a necessity and what did I just get a little too excited for, right? So I'm in the line, I'm talking with the cashier, you know, trying to get my ducats and my dollars together. And there's this gentleman behind me who has like three things. And he's just in this rush, huffing and puffing and all of this extra energy. And like, I see it, I feel it. And I'm like, I'm not engaging. Cause in my mind, I just had all these thoughts running past like what I wanted to say. And I was like, no, I have bigger fish to fry right now, like in front of me. Let me not let my energy get distracted with his madness. And he can either go to another aisle or another, checkout line, or he can go to the self checkout since he only has three things and you don't have to wait in line. You know, I'm just like, in my mind, I'm just like, why is he doing all this? Like, this is the most dramatic. So he finally gets out of line, goes to another register, and he like pulls the cashier aside, like whispers something in his ear. And I was like, he is just doing the absolute most. But I did not acknowledge him at all. I didn't even acknowledge him to the cashier. I didn't say nothing. I was like, I'm not going to let his energy penetrate my field. Like, I'm just not going to do it. Of course, it happens anyways. But when I get home, right, I'm just like, what was up with that man? Why was he doing all this extra dramatics? And now I'm like rehearsing all the things I would have said or I should have said or I could have said, all this da 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 da. And I finally kind of get it all out of my system. And right after I do that, mind you, I'm at home in my kitchen putting the groceries away. So it's over and done with. And so right after I get it all out of my system, I just hear spirit said, actually, this was my higher self. I just heard my higher self tell me, that's what you look like to the universe. And I just laughed. I was like, I laughed, y'all. I had to laugh at myself because I was like, you right. I know I'd be hella impatient like a motherfucker. So I just had to laugh. And it's just funny how the universe, you know, you always hear people say, you know, everything that you're experiencing, well, I won't say everything, but you know, a lot of the universe is your mirror, like your world is your mirror. And so there's, when people are triggering you or you're in these circumstances, these situations that are less than savory, you know what I mean? Like it's showing you an aspect of yourself. And so that's what that gentleman was to me in the Target line, huffing and puffing, impatient, don't want to wait, blah, blah, blah. That's me to the universe. That's what spirit said. That's what my higher self said. So I was like, okay, I see you. I fully understand. Okay, got it. Say less. I know patience is a huge, huge, huge life lesson for me. It's really something I'm going to touch more on Thursday. And just, it's just a big life lesson for me. And I'm constantly having my ass handed to me for trying to rush, trying to skip steps, trying to jump the line, trying to skip the line, right? Trying to hurry things up. And it just don't ever work out for me. So I'm just having to learn that patience really is a virtue. There's this phrase that I've heard several times and I love it. And it's, slow is smooth and smooth is fast. Slow is smooth and smooth is fast. So that's what I have to remind myself when I'm getting impatient and I'm trying to rush this and rush the process and rush the flow and rush spirit, rush God. I have to remind myself that slow is smooth and smooth is fast. Okay, so I just want to share that little nugget with you all. So today's oracle card is, I pulled two cards because I pulled beginnings and I was like, okay, let me fill into what else wants to come through with this beginnings. And the second card I pulled was fear. So the guidance that I received from pulling those two cards is release any fears around starting something new. Release any fears around starting something new. All right, y'all. So like I said earlier, new month, new lessons, new blessings, okay? So whatever lessons you had to learn in October, allow those blessings to come into fruition for November. So release any fears around starting something new, okay? And that's all I have for you all today. Told you, short and sweet. So today's guest is Sierra Vandervoort. I met Sierra back in New York City at a company that I was both interning at as a fashion designer and also working there as an office manager. Although if I'm not mistaken, I believe by the time Sierra came on as an intern, I was just the office manager. But we definitely connected at the time and over the years have managed to just kind of stay in touch through social media and just being able to witness each other's growth. So I knew she'd be a perfect guest on the show just to kind of finish up October. So originally this episode was supposed to have come out this past Thursday, but again, you know, trying to stay balanced, trying to stay sane. And I just did not have my wits about me to get it out by Thursday. So I just really wanted to continue the conversation, the discussion of around paganism, practical magic, and all the other witchy things that come with this. I'd say the end of October and even into the beginning of November. I feel like there's still a lot of cultures that still honor and respect this like very interesting transition from October into November. Like the energy is so interesting. It's so interesting around this time. And so, yeah, I hope this episode enlightens you and leaves you with a little bit of curiosity and a deeper understanding of what tapping into your inner witch may possibly look like. So here's my interview with Sierra. I'll see you all later this week. Yay! Well, thank you so much, Sierra, for joining me today. I'm so grateful that we get to connect and just speak openly, candidly about your journey, your process, all the beautiful, wonderful, and magical things that you're up to. So I'd love for you to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell the people who you are and what you do.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This is so exciting. My name is Sierra. I'm a yoga and mindfulness instructor and an online community builder. I've been dabbling in the spiritual wellness, mystical world for a while, and I've just worked recently to kind of build a space where other women can come in and study their spirituality and connect with one another and kind of level up together in that way.
I love that. That's so beautiful. So, of course, I want to have you backtrack a little bit, because when we last left off, we were working in the fashion industry. You were actually an intern at the company that I was working with and also interning at the same time, too. So I'd love to hear, like, and I think you were also like studying writing or something like that. So I'd love to just kind of catch up on that part and just hear about like, what was that transition like when you were like, oh no, I really want to do this, you know, spirituality, wellness thing, like full on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so wild. That was like three lifetimes ago. Yeah, that was after my freshman year of college there. I was interning at in the same fashion label as you, and I was studying journalism at the time, but I really wanted to do the whole like Devil Wears Prada fashion magazine thing. And kind of shortly after that, I switched gears. I still graduated with my degree in journalism, but I started to focus more on music journalism, and I still do a little bit of that kind of on the side. But really what came out of my college experience for me was much more like personal development. And I started taking some classes on Eastern spirituality. I started studying yoga. And from there, that was kind of really where I went with my adult life after college. I got my yoga teacher training done in New Orleans, where I had moved to right after I graduated. And then from there, I started teaching yoga. I started getting deeper into the cycles of the moon and the cycles of the seasons and how that works energetically and how we can kind of embody those energetic cycles in our wellness and spirituality. And so it's kind of doesn't seem like any one piece would fit into the other, but everything was a bit of a stepping stone of just really me learning more about myself and what I wanted to be and what I wanted to feel like on a regular basis. And all of that kind of got me into this space of realizing that I think my true purpose is to share that space of mindfulness and that space of embodiment and kind of try to coach others into that space as well.
I love that. And I love what you said about like really honoring the cycles of the seasons and the moons. And I've been getting that messaging a lot of like honoring the seasonal energies and just really seeing how, you know, just from a societal standpoint, we're so far off from that. And then at a personal level, I'm like really coming to terms with like all the resistance and the impatience and everything. And I just like the other, maybe a couple of weeks ago, I just had the realization. I was like, if I started those big manifestation projects or the things that I'm calling in, like during that spring season when you're supposed to be planting the seeds and like really allowing things to just pop up and flourish after the winter time, and really like just honoring that process of like, okay, spring, summer, fall, and we harvest, then we collect, then we reap everything that we've sown. It just felt so much more like that makes so much more sense than what I've been accustomed to doing, you know?
Yeah, it's totally, we've been taught, I think, from the get-go that you're just supposed to be on all the time, and you're never really given a chance to prioritize rest in that way. And I realize that kind of topics like this can appear really, like, I don't know, out there to some people, mm-hmm. really just woo-woo, but it's this kind of along the lines of learning to kind of swim with the waves rather than against them, right? It's not like a make or break. You can't just restrict your planning and your energetic manifesting to the springtime. If you want to do mm-hmm. it in October, that's great, but it's just like an extra little boost if you want to tap into the energies that are there.
Mm-hmm, totally, totally. So tell me about New Orleans. Like, what, how did that get on your radar?
Oh my God, just everything in my life is like seat of my pants, it seems like. That was one too. I never planned to move to my whole life growing up. I wanted to move to New York City, where you and I met after I graduated. And my senior year of college was really transformational for me in a lot of ways. I lost a lot of really important people in my life, and then gained a lot of new really important people in my life. And one of my best friends there at the time, she was from New Orleans, and we had just met and started connecting, and I knew that I was graduating soon, and I didn't really have any plans of anywhere to go. And I have my degree in music journalism, and she's like, hey, well, we should move to New Orleans. And I'm like, well, that makes sense. There's lots of music down there, and it's a mm-hmm. city, and my best friend's going, so F it, let's just mm-hmm. go. So I ended up there, and I knew I was getting more and more into kind of the witchy side of things, like herbalism and yoga and things like that. And it seemed like a really great space energetically for all that as well. So I like to think that it kind of picked me rather than me picking it. But
I love that. And I actually feel the same way about being here in Santa Fe. Never been here before ever. And like 2019, I was like, I want to go on a solo trip. And I'm like Googling like where to work. Never travel by myself ever. I'm like, where are safe places to travel in the US alone? And this was on the list. And I was like, I'm going to go there. And I fell in love and moved here a couple years later. So I totally feel that. And I think it's just really beautiful when you just trust that download, trust that intuitive nudge, trust that calling, and just allowing things to unfold and just anchoring deeper into your, you know, your intuitive guidance. I talk a lot about that with the work that I do, just really figuring out ways to just like release any guilt or shame around like just answering what you're feeling called to do, because it doesn't make sense to other people, or other people can't rationalize it, or like, you know, it's not a logical thing for them to be able to like conceptualize, but it's like, it's not for them. It's for you.
Yeah. Trusting that own journey in yourself. It takes a lot of practice for sure, but the more that definitely. You kind of feed that voice, then I think the stronger it gets.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. So, okay. Eastern spirituality. Cool. That makes sense now. Cause I remember, you know, obviously follow each other on social media, and I was just like, oh, she's doing yoga now. Okay. And then I'm like, oh, she's in New Orleans. Like what? Like I was just, you know, obviously watching your journey from the outside and just like, what is going on? What's happening? And I'm just seeing all these beautiful things that you're, you know, doing and being a part of. And so I love to talk about, you know, your brand, The Local Mystic. I love that name. It's so beautiful. And obviously, I saw you starting to post more things about like, you know, herbalism and witchy stuff. So I definitely want to tap into that side. Like, what was that process? Like, what was that introduction for you? I know you said yoga, but there had to be something else. I was just like, oh yeah, this is it.
Yeah. So yoga definitely was my first stepping stone into it. And then I was taking classes on Buddhism and Hinduism in college. And so I just kind of was becoming more and more enthralled with this idea of this all-pervading presence and being, and just this spirit that was within us. And for the first time in my life, I felt sort of sovereignly powerful mm-hmm. in my spirituality, because I was raised very Christian, where, you know, all of the sort of divinity is outside of you, and you're constantly mm-hmm. having to fear and beg for forgiveness from this outside divine figure. And suddenly I felt empowered on my own by it. And in that sense too, I was very drawn to the idea of paganism, which is all about spiritual sovereignty and all about taking your magic and your power into your own hands. And I didn't really realize that that's what I was doing at the time. I just thought it was fun to play with plants. Like you said, I was getting into herbalism at first. I just like to make little like potions for my friends, and if they're like, oh, my back hurts, I'm like, here, I made a cream for you. Like, I just kind of like to make money. And it wasn't until my partner at the time, and my partner now, he was just kind of making jokes about it. He's like, you're like a little witch. And I was like, maybe I am. So from there, I started like intentionally seeking out information on that, like books about paganism and the wheel of the year and the moon cycles and herbalism. And the deeper that I got into it, the more just enthralled I was. And there's so many different avenues that you can go down. And I realized that, you know, for talking about branding, maybe I've diluted it a little bit over the years because I'm just interested in so many things, like herbalism and moon magic and yoga and X and Y. So there's just so much to get into, and being in New Orleans was so pivotal for that period of learning and growth and study for myself, because suddenly I was in a community that was like overflowing with resources about everything that I was suddenly interested in, like some of the witchiest cities in the world. So I could go to the apothecary right down the street from me and go take classes, go to full moon circles. I started a little, I guess you could call us a coven. It was a little like event space, event group between myself and a few other like-minded women. And we were holding events there in New Orleans together for a while. So really that community and that space to be able to study and grow in that way is really kind of what made the difference for me. And I think that's one of the reasons why I'm so passionate about creating that community for women in that way now.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And it's so, you know, it's so funny. I actually recently interviewed another friend of mine. She's a Reiki master. Her name is Shoshana. And she's also into witchcraft and things like that. And she grew up in a very traditional Christian upbringing, and then to hear your story, you also grew up in a very traditional Christian upbringing, and myself also grew up in a very traditional Christian upbringing. And it's just like so interesting how we've kind of like, you know, we've really allowed ourselves to go on our own path, as untraditional as they may be, even though I feel like at large there's so many cultures and communities that really honor the things that we're interested in, and that is their culture, you know. And it's just like a very, for whatever reason, our souls chose these family dynamics to you know, get that little bit of resistance, a little bit of oppression or whatever, and it really just forced us. I won't even say forced, but it really just led us to just seeking, like you said, seeking for our own truth. And to your point about, you know, when you came into, you know, a learning about paganism and witchcraft and things, how you kind of really felt like that sovereignty, that power. I myself kind of felt a very similar thing when I was getting into like more and deeper into astrology and also deepening my yogic practice, just solo, but, you know, also going to certain spaces and places that really honored these kind of teachings and things like that. And I was like, I feel more connected to God now than ever. Like, you know, I've always been just even growing up, I just always wanted to, like, how am I trying to say? I was just a really good kid. Like, I wasn't intentionally a rebel. I wasn't like out here doing crazy things. I was just like, and I don't know if you remember this in your church upbringing, but, you know, we were blessed to be a blessing. And I just remember being in church being like, I just want to be blessed to be a blessing. I've just always wanted to help people and just like help animals and just like be of service and help. And so I just want to do the good thing and the right thing and just be rewarded for it, you know? And you know, there's a little bit more that you have to do other than that, but I've never had, you know, that desire to just be out here wild and crazy and da 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 da. I've always just, you know, like, I just want to do what God wants for me. Like, I just want to do what I came here to do, and trying to figure out what that is. And, you know, being taught one thing, but feeling on the inside, like, I don't know, that doesn't really sound like I can be myself. Like, that was always my thing. I'm like, I don't really seem, that doesn't seem like I can be myself if I'm supposed to be following this one way of living and thinking and being. Like, I'm like, well, where do I fit in with all of that? Because I don't really get that energy.
Yeah, because I mean, it sounds like you and I and men too were innately spiritual people. And just because the framework that we first learned isn't the one we stuck with doesn't mean that, you know, it didn't serve us at all. I, mm-hmm. And the more that I've studied different religions, they're all essentially the same. It just, mm-hmm. it gets muddled with interpretation and rules and regulations. But when I was a devout Christian as a young person, I remember being really so in love with whatever that God figure was. Like, I mm-hmm. honestly felt connected to it, and I felt sort of safe, and I loved it, and I wanted to be around and surrounded by that whenever I could. So I felt really connected to whatever that energy was that I was being taught about. But mm-hmm. the more that I grew up, just the more that I kind of refined that vision of what it is, and the less I saw it as something that was sort of constricted into one specific description, and was much more expansive than I had ever imagined, which was mm-hmm. so cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree. So I'm curious, you know, as you were beginning your journey through paganism, did you have any hesitations? Were there any fears that came up? Like, what did that look like for you?
A little, I guess. I knew what I had been taught as a kid. I wasn't even allowed to watch the Harry Potter movies when I was younger because it was witchcraft and bad. But it's so funny now, you know, both my mom and my grandma, they're both also green witches. They refuse to take Advil and just like only use peppermint oil. Like, they don't identify as that title, but they mm-hmm. are essentially. And the more that I've studied it, the more that my mom has opened up to it as well, which is super fun and interesting. But I really just had to read a lot about it, and I started to understand kind of where the misconstruities were coming from. Because, you know, the more that you do get deeper into the different deities and energies in paganism, you know, there is like a horned god that rules all the forest animals. So like, I can see where the imagery is mm-hmm. coming from, and I can see where it might start to look a little scary from the outside. But I truly believe this is all about the intention that you put behind things. So I didn't really have any fear around it, because I knew that my intention was never bad. Mm-hmm. And I just knew that I wanted to use that energy for personal empowerment, and then through that, the empowerment of other people. So I know, I mean, granted, I've never been to like, what is it when everyone sits around the table and they have a Ouija board and
a seance?
I've never done like one of those or anything, but I don't know. I also don't watch like scary movies for that reason. I just try to keep good positive energy. So I don't know if that will ever be my thing. I'll stick to plants and yoga. But
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I'm curious, like, what would you have, or what are some tools, resources that really supported you when you were deciding to deepen down this path, just for anyone who's curious and for myself?
Yeah, books for sure, more than anything. I remember the first book that I got, it was called The Craft by Dorothy Morrison. And I read the entire thing on the drive down from Indiana to New Orleans. I read the entire book. And I was like, okay, this is what I'm doing now with my life. So let's figure it out.
I love that.
Books for sure. And then, yeah, just community workshops and events and things like that. I was going to, you know, shops to get herbs and crystals and sage and things like that, and they would just have little like flyer boards of things that were going on, and then I would go to the things. I think that's honestly the hardest part for a lot of people. Like, you have to go to the things, right? And if you don't live in a space where they have events like that, then, you know, that's a separate thing, and that's why we have online spaces. But you do have to kind of put yourself out there if you are looking to learn, and put yourself in front of people that are willing and trying to teach you, you know? So I think that's kind of the hardest part for most people, because they don't want to go alone because they're scared and they're not sure what it's going to be like. And I totally understand that. But you just, I don't know, you kind of have to do it. I feel bad because that I've never, when it comes to that, you know, putting yourself out there and going to do things, mm-hmm. I never have that good of like a way to help people do that, just because it's never really been like an issue for me. Like, I'll just I don't care. I'll just put myself out there, because it's something that I want to do. Some people are like, well, how do I do it? How do I go if it scares me? I don't know. Sometimes I'm at a lack for advice besides just do it.
Just go. Yeah.
But maybe it's as easy as that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And it sounds like you're very extroverted, and I tend to be on the introverted spectrum. And I definitely remember having those like kind of talks with myself when a really good friend of mine actually moved away. And I was like, well, I'm not going to stop going to things that I like to to like, or places I like to go, or events that I'm curious about going to, because, you know, she's no longer here. I'm like, I'm just going to use this as an opportunity to like go and put myself out there. And I just kind of like, for anyone who's listening and dealing with this, how I cope with this, like if I go and just talk to one person, cool. Or if like I'm at like a panel discussion or whatever, I'm like, if I go to a panel discussion and if there are people who are like wanting you to ask them questions, you know, after the end of the presentation or whatever, I was like, I'm not going to leave without asking a question. Like, I'm going to like stay until I come up with a question. I don't care, but like, I'm going to make that connection. And it was just that practice of just doing that. And then, yeah, after a while, you're like, no big deal. If I talk to someone, great. If I don't talk to anyone, cool. Like, I came and I got what I needed. But it, yeah, it just baby steps, small steps, small steps.
Yeah. And you don't, and most events, you don't necessarily have to like speak up if you don't want to, depending on how big it is. I get it can feel really intimate if it's you and like five other people. But if you do want to go to a workshop or a class, you don't necessarily have to put yourself out there that much. If you are feeling a little bit introverted, because I get that way too, you can just go and sit and absorb. You know, you don't really have to speak or engage with other people if you don't want to. So maybe, you know, even that's the first step, just like go, and then you can still just be in the back and like be quiet, but you're, at least then you're there.
Absolutely. And that's probably the most important part, is that you're there. And if, you know, if you are meant to connect with someone, they'll come up to you too, you know, they'll feel your energy and they'll spark a conversation, whatever the case may be. And yeah, kind of bring you out of your shell a little bit. So I'd love to talk more about your women's circle and your membership and the things that, and the offerings and the services that you provide. What did that journey look like?
Yeah. So it's been a year and a half, almost 2 years, I guess now. Wow. I started the membership in January of 2020, in some form or another. At first it was on Patreon, so it was very kind of like lowbrow, but now, you know, we have our own space. But that just came from me being so inspired by the communities that I had in New Orleans and that coven that we had started together, and just realizing how transformational those events could be. And so it's grown in so many ways now, where we have a monthly full moon circle, a monthly masterclass that's on something spiritual and energetic related. The theme kind of shifts from month to month. So there's always new stuff to learn, and we have guests that come in and teach about the things that they are experts on, because I realized I'm not an expert on everything. So we've grown and added so many resources since the beginning, when it was just moon circles and workbooks and journaling together. But yeah, I really just wanted to create kind of an online hub for women who wanted to study wellness and spirituality. So there are resources on yoga and meditation and tarot and crystals and astrology and Reiki and just kind of things from all over, because I want people to have the options to study what they want, and I want people to be able to have the resources that they want, because the more that you know, the more that you can learn about yourself, and you can find someone who is interested in something that maybe you didn't think anyone else was, you know, right. And you can kind of connect over that. It's been so fun to watch it grow over the past like 2 years or so now. We're just, I think, about at 50 women in this space, and it's been so cool to watch them connect. Yeah,
that is so beautiful. It's funny. So I actually just started hosting moon circles as well in the new and the full moon, and I got like an inkling. I was like, this is the beginning of my membership. So funny that you say that's how yours started. But I'm just curious, because I find, and I actually also want to tap on like just the creative energy that comes with being in this space, like being on this side of creativity. Because I actually yesterday realized that, you know, I'm so used to being such a traditional creator, in the sense like photographer, music, like things that are very like tangible in a way. And yesterday I was like, no, you're still creating. It's not, you're not doing photography, you're not doing music right now. It's not that season, but you're still creating content. You're creating content with your podcast on social media. You're creating space, like safe spaces for people to come and be seen and be authentic. So I didn't even realize how much of that I had in my shadow, which was also playing into a lot of the resistance that I was having with just showing up and just doing the thing that I knew I wanted to do. But it's just like, why is this taking so much effort? So I'm just curious, for you in your experience, you know, when you first started your moon circle and your gatherings, like what kept you going? Like in what, you know, even, and I'm not sure how many women you started with, but if there was, let's say, two or three women, like what just kept you going? Like, I'm going to keep showing up.
Well, for a very kind of dry answer with a membership, it's nice because you don't have an option. You promise people one a month, mm-hmm. so you gotta do it. Mm-hmm. So that sort of accountability is nice in that way. But I think, yeah, honestly, I just believed in what I was doing, and I love doing it too. You know, like you said, it is creative in that aspect, and it is. It's good to remember that, because then too, yeah, when it gets so draining sometimes after you're creating all these things, you're like, why is this so hard? Why is this so tired? Because you're putting out so much of your own energy, and then mm-hmm. even holding space for others, you're putting out your own energy, and then you're also taking it in from other people. So it can be really, really draining a lot of the time. But for me, obviously my spiritual and my wellness practices too have been so crucial in keeping me going, keeping me inspired and energized, and then also just realizing that I'm not going to feel that way all the time, I'm not going to feel creative and energized all mm-hmm. the time, and that's okay. And the more that I've gotten to know my body and my own inner cycles, I now kind of know how to schedule around those times when I'm not feeling the most energetic and inspired. But yeah, I don't really, just working on dedication, and I just think showing up for yourself and for others as another one that is really hard and just kind of takes practice and doing, and I think too, not being afraid to shift and change gears every once in a while, because if something all of a sudden isn't inspiring you and you really don't want to do it anymore, I don't want to say that you should just stay consistent just for the sake of just to keep staying consistent and keep turning on. Obviously, if it's not feeling good to you anymore, then maybe that's a sign that you need to shift and change a little bit.
Right.
So just constantly maybe coming back to your emotions and how what you're doing is actually making you feel, rather than just striving for results. And that's something that I'm still working on all the time. I think is also a really important one. So remembering to keep your emotional and your mental body in the conversation as well.
I love that. Thank you for that. That was beautiful. So, as you know, we have Halloween coming up around the corner, Samhain. I'm interested to hear some of your, I don't know, witchy tips, intention setting, rituals. What would you like to share with people?
Yeah. Oh, Halloween is like, ultimate season.
Especially being in New Orleans. Oh my God, I can only imagine.
Oh my God, it was the best time ever. Yeah, it was so much fun. Halloween is a really, really important and really iconic, I think, witchy holiday, obviously. Mm-hmm. I'm not into the as much as like the seance and mm-hmm. the spirit side as maybe some other people, but this time of year, at least for those of us in the northern hemisphere, going back to what we were first talking about the energies of the seasons, it's a time when it's starting to get darker much, much earlier, starting to get colder. And there's that energy of kind of drawing in and starting to prioritize rest and quiet and introspection a little bit more. So any sort of practices that you have or that you're interested in that help you connect with that inner self and that sense of inner quiet are really great. Meditation and journaling. If you want to get into the more, I guess, picturesque kind of Halloween things, you can do a dumb supper where you honor the spirit world, because this is also seen as the time when the veil is really thin. And there's sort of that connection between the ancestors in the spirit world and us. Mm-hmm. So they say leaving offerings for your ancestors is really pertinent at this time. You could set up an ancestral altar, which can be, it can be past loved ones from the recent, or the way that I've done it more in the past is more sort of looking at your entire genealogy, your entire heritage as a whole, and kind of honoring your heritage and the spiritual traditional practices of your ancestors. This kind of takes it a little bit broader. So setting up an altar for that, pictures of your family, items that sort of iconize your heritage, and studying more in depth the practices of your ancestors and the spiritual traditions of your ancestors. Shadow work, which is its own like one word, but means like seven million things. Getting into those kind of deeper, darker, more intuitive energies. Anything centered around those practices at this time is like the time to do it.
I love that. I'm curious, since you brought up shadow work, what does shadow work look like for you?
It looks for me like a lot of journaling. Journaling is like, I've studied writing, and so writing for me has always been a therapeutic practice. But writing in the sense of just kind of stream of consciousness, connecting with my inner voice. And sometimes it looks really, really mean because I'm a very proactive person. My masculine is very, very strong. I'm a big doer. And so sometimes if I'm not performing in the way that my masculine would want me to be, then I can be very mean to myself sometimes and very harsh on myself. So there's been times when my journaling practice does not look pretty at all. I think I've been super frustrated probably and overly caffeinated and just written the F word for like an entire page and like just kind of let it out. So it doesn't always look very pretty. But just using that to kind of clear it all out. And then I've been getting more into sort of healing my inner child more recently and that side of shadow work. So kind of letting it all go and then working on bringing in the healing and the positive is what it's been like for me.
Yes. I'm currently in both those places, shadow work and inner child work and reparenting and all of those things. And it's very, it's very humbling, but it's also very exciting. You know, you brought up Harry Potter. So my reward to myself over the weekend for like doing it, you know, completing XYZ thing, I was like, I'm going to watch Harry Potter. I'm going to start it all over from the beginning. So I watched Harry Potter, and it's just like, you know, it's allowing those aspects of yourself that, you know, weren't allowed to fully be seen or allowed to fully show up, like just letting her do it. Watch the movie, go to the place, eat the candy, you know, like just really giving yourself that permission. So I've become more and more grateful to have those moments, because it kind of typically comes with a, for me at least, it comes with a little bit of a like slap in the face. It's like, oh shoot, I have not been honoring my inner child. I've been so mean to myself. You know, I tend to do the same thing. A lot of extremely masculine energy, but not in a not in the most balanced way. That's like helping to support me get things done and helping me to complete things. It's definitely a little bit more abrasive, and I'm working on that. Definitely working on that, and just learning to balance that, the divine masculine and the divine feminine. And I'm sure you probably got a lot of that energy during your practices, especially with paganism, I imagine.
I've really been kind of allowed and inspired to embrace that divine feminine so much more in the past like 5 years of my life than I ever had before. I didn't really even know that was an aspect to be on the lookout for before the past 5 years, you know, because you're just taught about God with the capital G and Jesus and the male aspects. And, you know, even in Catholicism, they honor the Mother Mary more than we do in Christianity. So I never really thought about that as an energy to tap into. And, you know, I mean, I was just surrounded with very masculine energy all the time growing up. And it has been so much more empowering for me to dive into that and realizing how much I needed that energy because I have, my masculine is very strong, which is good because it allows me to, you know, get stuff done and build my own business and be very proactive in so many ways and get those comments that like, oh, you're doing so much all the time. Like you're doing so great. I just see you doing all these things. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm just doing a lot. Just a lot of doing. And I need to try cut back on the doing and focus more on the being. And so the more that I've been able to kind of step into that has been so balancing for me and relaxing. And it's been a practice, you know, something I still struggle with all the time. I still have to remind myself when I wake up to not just jump right on my laptop because I want to so bad when I wake up for some reason. So just, kind of retraining myself in so many ways.
And, you know, since you brought up building your own business, and I think that there, you know, especially in this day and age, like there's such a huge boom of like spiritual entrepreneurs. And I'm just curious, like, what have you learned along that journey?
Oh my gosh, so much. I quit my last 9-to-5. It was October of 2019. So That was the last time I had like a day job. And I said, this is going back to the masculine feminine thing. At first, I just got so into the building of the business that that's all I was studying, you know, was marketing and online business archetypes and just ways to be successful. And there was a period then when I really neglected my spiritual and my wellness studies. I was no longer studying to be a better teacher, a better yoga teacher, spiritual teacher. I was studying to be a better business person. And there was then a period where I kind of got lost in my messaging and my work for the longest time. And I suddenly was trying to then teach other spiritual entrepreneurs, you know, how to build their own spiritual business. And I realized that I have no idea how to do that. Like, I kind of do. I've been trying to learn for the last 2 years, but I'm in no position to teach others how to do that. I am a mindfulness teacher and a yoga teacher. Those are what my gifts are. My gifts are not marketing and business. Those are things that I really have to struggle and work through to try to learn. So I kind of got lost for a little bit in that path. And only after being able to remove myself from that and step out of that and come back to what my vision, my dharma, we call it in yoga, is, I've remembered, you know, what my true gifts are in guiding people and embodying them and getting them more connected to their inner selves and being able to realize that that's the focus. The business skills will definitely help. And I've learned so much about online marketing and business building that still benefit me a lot. And I'm still studying it because I want to be a better teacher and reach more people. But kind of keeping my, redirecting my focus back to what it is I'm actually teaching and how to show up as a better guide for other people. I think I answered that question.
Yeah, no, that was perfect, because I found myself in a similar position, not necessarily trying to teach other people, you know, how to build their online business or anything like that, or spiritual business, but I definitely found myself taking in way more of the business stuff, just because I was super new. And I'm like, you know, I created a course and I'm like, okay, well, I need to sell it to people. I need to market to people. I need to do this. I need to do that, blah, blah, blah. And I too got super lost. I'm like, I'm not meditating. I'm not channeling. I'm not journeying. I'm not doing any of that stuff. Like, and I was like, whoa, okay, we're going to have to, like, you know, definitely find the balance. And I feel like I'm still in that process of finding the balance, because like you said, like, you know, I'm still learning that business aspect, because there are tools. And I'm actually connected with something, I mean, with someone on through Clubhouse, but on Instagram. And she was just telling me, she was like, you know, there are no rules to business, just principles. And when she said that, I was like, oh, okay. Cause I'm the, you know, I have to do it right. I have to do it this way. Cause I have perfectionism to the hills, like, you know. And that's a lot of my sometimes shortcomings as well, as I, because I'm so focused on like doing the quote unquote right thing and doing it perfectly so I can get the results. And you know, and it, you also have to go, like, take into account like how you feel and like what's really feeling aligned. And so that's when I kind of snapped out of it. I was like, okay, the reason why I'm on certain aspects having to like force so much, because this isn't actually in alignment with, you know, how I want to present myself or whatever the case may be. You know, this may have worked for 10,000 other people taking, you know, doing these, following these steps. But I'm like, as a highly intuitive person, it's like, I can't discount my intuitive aspects, or I can't discount, you know, my energy and the amount of energy that I'm giving out to this thing that isn't really authentic to me. So that was like a little bit of like a, you know, scary in a way, because I'm like, well, I don't know it all. So I'm like trying to figure it out. But I think, again, at the end of the day, it's just relying on those gut instincts and just trusting your guidance and that you're being directed and led down the path that will suit you. And that will get you, still get you to your success and, you know, hit the benchmarks and whatever the case may be, but it's just going to feel a whole lot better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So thank you so much for just taking the time out to speak with me today. I'm so grateful that we were able to reconnect and just share and discuss all of these beautiful topics that came up: witchiness, paganism, spirituality, energetic healing and medicine. Is there anything else that you would like to share with the people?
I hope that everyone is able to take care of themselves today, this week, wherever you are, and take care of each other. And yeah, don't be afraid to slow down, I think, for a little bit. It does does you a lot of good, even though it seems really small.
I love that. And where can people find you if they want to get in touch with you or maybe join your membership?
Yeah. So Instagram is the best place to find me. I'm the local mystic on Instagram. And then you can get all the information about the Mystic Members Club and all the events we have coming up. Obviously, October is lit in there. We're doing some stuff for Samhain. And we have all the Halloween rituals. And we're doing a Reiki session tomorrow night that's about reclaiming your inner witch and healing the collective sorceress. So that's going to be so cool. My friend Kristen is leading. So yeah, you can get all the information for all the workshops and stuff there. And there's a free week trial if anyone is interested, but they're not sure. So you can just come dip your toes in the little magical waters and see how you like it.
I love it. I might have to take advantage of that Reiki session now. That sounds interesting. I love Reiki. Yeah. I actually just had a Reiki guest on. So yeah, that sounds, yeah, I'm intrigued.
Come on, girl.
Yeah, you said that's tomorrow?
Yes, ma'am. It's live tomorrow, but then all of our sessions too get recorded. So there's like a whole big library of just backlogged of all the workshops that we've ever done. So yeah, because we have people from all over the world, so I get time zones are kind of a mess most times. So yeah, it's live tomorrow night, but then it'll be recorded and in the master class afterwards.
Love that. Love that. That's so beautiful. Well, thank you so much. Thanks for speaking with me. Thank you for everything you do. I think your work is so beautiful. And I'm so grateful that we connected when we did. And I'm grateful that we have been able to stay in connection throughout the last, I don't even remember how many years it's been, but it's been a minute.
At least 6 or 7 years, I think.
Seven. It's 2021, right? Mm-hmm. Yep. 7 years. Yeah.
Wow.
So I know we were definitely meant to cross paths for sure. You know, that happened for a reason. And I'm just grateful that it did.
Me too. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, love. Enjoy the rest of your day. Have a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful week as well. And I'm sure I'll see you around on the gram.
Oh, yes. We'll be there.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode. If you like what you heard today, please subscribe and leave a rating or a review. Now, don't forget, I'm picking the best review at the end of the month and giving that person a free 30-minute energy reading. So be sure to leave a review for the chance to be selected.